भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते
वासुदेवाय श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 33 द रस डांस टेक्स्ट नंबर 30 नहि तत् समाचारे जातु मनसापि हन मनसापि हनि विश्वरः हिनस्य यच्चरन्
मोद्याद्यारुद्रोतीजं
विशं नैतत्समाचरिश्चातु मनसापि हि अनैश्वरः विनश्यत् यच्चरन् मोद्याद् रुद्रोतीजं विशं नैतत्समाचरिर्जातु मनसापि हि अनीश्वरः विनश्यत्याचरं मोध्या Hijam Visham. Not. Etat. This. Samacharet. Should perform. Jatu. Ever. Manasa. With the mind. Api. Even. He certainly Anishvaraha, one who is not a controller, Vinashyati, he is destroyed, Acharan, acting, Modyat, out of foolishness, Yata, as. Arudraha, one who is not Lord Rudra, Abdijam, generated from the ocean, Visham, poison. One who is not a great controller should never imitate the behavior of ruling personalities, even mentally. If out of foolishness an ordinary person does imitate such behavior, he will simply destroy himself, just as a person who is not Rudra would destroy himself if he tried to drink an ocean of poison. Purport. Lord Shiva or Rudra once drank an ocean of poison, and the result was that an attractive blue mark appeared on his neck. But if we were to drink even a drop of such poison, we would die immediately. I've got my glasses with me, so I can't read this very well. Just as we should not imitate this pastime of Shiva's, we should not imitate Lord Krishna's activities with the gopis. We should clearly understand that while Lord Krishna certainly descends to demonstrate religious principles, he also descends to demonstrate that he is God, and we are not. That also must be demonstrated. The Lord enjoys with his internal potency and thus attracts us to the spiritual platform. We should not try to imitate Krishna, for we will suffer severely. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshurum Militam Jena Tasmaye Shri Gurure Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantigam Mukam Karoti Vatsalam Pangum Rangayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam. na. E tat, not this. Samacharet, should perform. Jatu, ever. There are two principles. We were discussing the other day in the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. There is anusharanam and anukaranam. One means to imitate and the other means to follow. Anukaranam means to imitate the activities. And anusharanam means to follow the instructions, follow the example. Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita that although he has no duty to perform, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's the Paramishvara. Out of all of the Ishvaras, he's the Supreme Ishvara. And there's no reason for him to perform regulated or prescribed duties or activities. Still he does so. Still he does so. Why? To set a proper example for others. To set a proper example for others. Which is very important. Activities should be performed in such a way so that they're ultimately beneficial, that they will be uplifting, that they will encourage and enhance, nurture the development or the expansion, the emancipation, if you like, of our consciousness. At the moment, we are restricted. Our consciousness is restricted because we're thinking that we're just this, we're a lump of matter, which is very restrictive consciousness. It is not a full realization or development application of our true potential, our true identity. Very unfortunate. So therefore Vedic culture is designed in such a way that the instructions of the Shastra, the organization of the Varnas and the Ashrams and social etiquettes and principles is to elevate people up towards a higher understanding of themselves, who they are, what their identity is, how they should be behaving, what their actions should be, with an aim to realize one's spiritual reality, the spiritual reality, one's spiritual identity. So therefore all of the prescribed duties are given. Krishna, however, doesn't have to follow those injunctions. He's already the self-realized, self-liberated, he's not even liberated, there's no question of his being. You know, liberation means that it means you've been emancipated or you've been freed. But that doesn't relate to Krishna, because there's no time that Krishna ever got covered or that he's ever bound up. So this doesn't matter for him. And so therefore we see that Krishna performs astounding pastimes, which if an ordinary person was to imitate, they'd just become completely. If we were to dance in the forest with lots of girls, or if the girls were dancing in the forest with lots of boys, or even one boy for that matter, what would be the result? You know, Prabhupada went to the mantra rock dance in San Francisco, and then at the end when he came out he said, "This is no place for a brahmachari." This is no place for a brahmachari. You know, the environment and the activities that we engage in have an influence on our consciousness. So to imitate the activities of the great, of the Ishvaras. For one who is Anishvara, to imitate the Ishvara is extremely dangerous. Extremely dangerous, because it's a false position. Whilst we may be Ishvaras to a minute degree, yes, we're Ishvaras, but how much can we control? In reality, how much we can control? You know, when you get an upset stomach, that's it. Off to the bathroom straight away. Here's the supreme control, has to run off to the bathroom very quickly. Well, Prabhupada gives the example. He claims to be Bhagavan, but when he gets a sore tooth, he has to go to the dentist, get it fixed up. So, yes, the sense of Ishvara is prominent within the living entity, because ultimately, being expansions of Krishna, we also have some of the potencies of God, but in minute quantity. But just because we have that potency in minute quantity, we shouldn't become illusioned into thinking that now we are as powerful as the real controllers, Ishvaras. Here, you know, it's explained. Shiva, Brahma, other personalities, the great demigods. These are the real Ishvaras. In the previous verse, it mentions how such personalities, they have the potency of the sun, the power of the burning capacity, if you like, just like fire. For they are just like fire, mentions here, which devours everything fed into it. Whereas the tiny little Ishvaras, when they think that they're a big Ishvara, when they get fed into the... Actually, they go into the fire. They get consumed by the fire of Maya. Prabhupada gives the example of a fire burning, and it's very attractive, especially the moth comes along and he sees the fire and he's attracted to the light and he flies into the fire and then poof, he's burned up. So rather than having the fire, rather than having the power of these great personalities, when we get when we start to think that we're the controller of the material energy, then the material energy consumes us. We get the opposite result. And so what happens? And this is Krishna's point, actually. He says to Arjuna, you know, I perform prescribed duties in order to set an example for others so that they will be elevated, not contaminated, not covered over, not delegated down. So therefore it is recommended that the... ordinary personalities, rather than imitate anukaranam, they follow the instructions. If there's ever a discrepancy between what Krishna tells us to do and what Krishna does, we should do what Krishna tells us to do and ignore what he does. Because as Prabhupada makes the point, you know, everybody wants to imitate Krishna's Rasa Leela, dancing with different girls. But they fail to, it's impossible for them to imitate Krishna's lifting Govardhan Hill with the little finger of their left hand. If you are capable, if you want to imitate Krishna's pastimes, dancing with the gopis, then you need the you also have to have the potency of being able to lift up big mountains with your little finger of your left hand. You know, the little finger of your left hand happens to be probably the weakest point in your body. But nobody can do that. So, the warning is here. In here is very... Even, actually, the warning here is significant. It says... na eta, this samacharet should perform jatu eva manasapi. Manasa api. Even with the mind. Right? Even we shouldn't meditate on imitating such things. What is big of doing it? We shouldn't even meditate on it. Anishvaraha, one who is not a controller. Right? We are not the controllers. Rather, we are the servants. We are the servants of the controller, the supreme controller. When we become a servant of the supreme controller, then automatically we're purified and we become elevated. In fact, we can become empowered in that fashion. If we want to become empowered, if we want to become as potent as fire, if you like, if we want to imbibe the potencies of the Godhead, then the only way to do that is actually render service to the Godhead. That's the methodology. This can be a bit of a trap, because for the devotees, they surrender to Krishna, they get some power, but then the false ego again covers. And what does Krishna say? The consciousness of such a person, what is it? We were discussing the other day. Kartaham iti manyate. No, what is it? Vimudhatma. What is it? What's that verse? Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Ahankara, under the influence of false ego. Vimudha. What does he become?
Fool.
Vimudha. Mudha means foolish. Vimudha means a big fool. And what is a big fool? Kartaham iti manyate. I'm the doer. I'm the doer of the activities. Whereas the consciousness of the devotee is, I am not the doer. Krishna is the doer. The material energy is the doer. Under Krishna's control, the material energy is doing things. I am simply the witness, if you like, the passenger. This is the basic philosophy of the Bhagavad Gita. We're not the body, we're spirit soul. The body is just a vehicle. And that vehicle, ultimately, it's not ours. It's a great surprise to people when they hear our philosophy and we tell them, actually, this body is not ours. But the modern philosophy, modern culture, so-called modern, based on a bodily concept, based on thinking, yes, I am the body is mine. What I speak of, the body is mine, the country, the facilities, the creation is ours, and it's here for our enjoyment. Of course, what does that get us in? That kind of mentality just gets us into trouble. So the Vedic system, the Vedic systems are designed in such a way so that we sublimate that Ishvara tendency, that controller tendency, by being controlled. We may also be given power and potency and control in that capacity. But that control and power and potency invested in us will stay with us so long as we keep using it in Krishna's service. When we try to use it for our own sense gratification, for our own purposes, then the material energy simply turns us into fools. Vimudhatma. Ahankara vimudhatma kartaham iti manyate. So therefore, we shouldn't even mentally try to imitate the Ishvaras, but rather we should become their servants. This is the proper behaviour. We should not imitate Lord Krishna's activities with the gopis. And why is Krishna demonstrating this? Why? Because he's showing, demonstrating to us his position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As is mentioned here. He also descends to demonstrate that he is God and we are not. That also must be demonstrated. The Lord enjoys with his internal potency and thus attracts us to his spiritual platform. We should not try to imitate Krishna, for we will suffer severely. This is a fairly simple lesson to be learned. Does anyone have any comments or questions on any of these points?
You were mentioning how Krishna can never be bound.
Not by the material energy, he can't be.
And we feel that he is bound behind the
chair. Yeah, it's slightly different. He was bound by Mother Yashoda's love. So, that's slightly different to the bindings that we find ourselves tied up with or by. What's it? Daivi hi esha gunamayi mama maya dadatyaya. We get bound up by the three modes of material nature and, you know, put into a full Nelson. With our arm twisted right up behind our back, like, oh, you know, that hurts. Right? Whereas Krishna gets bound up by the love of his devotees, and it's purely pleasurable, it's pure pleasure for him. Bit of a difference. Yes, whatever. That's Krishna's example. Yad yada charati sveshtas tat tat evetaro janaha sajat pramanam kurute lokas tad anuvartate. Yes. So therefore, Krishna sets the example. He follows the regulated principles. He adheres to the regulated principles that are meant for governing the ordinary people. That's what he says in the Bhagavad Gita. Because Arjuna is saying, I want to stop fighting. But what Krishna is saying is, if you don't fight, you'll go and do something else and you'll be degraded by that activity. Because Arjuna was, his argument was, if I fight, I'll be degraded by this sinful activity of killing the my teacher and elders and not being respectful to the elders and so forth. Krishna says, no, if you don't fight, you'll be avoiding your duty and you'll be forced to act in any case, and then you'll act in an inappropriate way and thereby be degraded. So therefore do your duty. And he says, even I do my duty in order to set the example for others. Even I do my duty. Even I don't have to. There is no duty actually for me to perform, because he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, this is the point that I was making before. Anusaranam and Anukaranam. If we see that Krishna is performing an activity which is contrary to what we would normally consider the rules and regulations of the scriptures, then we should not imitate that, but rather we should follow his instruction. And his instruction is follow the principles. Don't imitate me. So, the standards that Krishna sets are follow the regulated principles. The extraordinary activities that he performs, which he does so in order to demonstrate that he's the personality of Godhead, we should accept them as being extraordinary, but certainly not to be imitated. You know, because that kind of standard, nobody can come anywhere near. You know, there's no hope of us dancing with how many billions was it? 6 billion. It's getting bigger all the time now. 3 what? Billion or million? 3 billion. You know, none of us are going to be able to dance in the forest with 3 billion girls. Certainly not for the whole night of Lord Brahma. You know, we get run around by just one girl. What to speak of 3 billion. So obviously we can't imitate that kind of behaviour. That's to show Krishna's superlative position. An example here is Lord Rudra, you know, Lord Shiva. He drank an ocean of poison. If we tried to drink an ocean of poison, you know, we'd be knocked out. We'd be finished. But what happens? Lord Shiva drinks, as is pointed out here, Lord Shiva drinks an ocean of poison, and then gets an attractive, you know, ornament on his body as a result. We drink, you know, even a small quantity of poison and end up with a big hangover. You wake up in the morning, your eyes are hanging out of your head. No attractive ornaments on us. Can't even stand up. So what's, you know, it's obvious that we shouldn't imitate. So,
some may argue that we're part and parcel of Krishna. If he has his propensities, what's wrong with us having his propensities, even though we might have it in a minute degree, like Krishna might be able to lift the whole mountain.
With girls. There's no doubt that we have that propensity. That's fairly obvious. But where does it get us? For Krishna, dancing with the gopis, that's a play of the internal energy of the spiritual potency of the Lord. The example that we should take with that, from that is that we should also be dancing with the internal energy of the Lord in relationship with Krishna. Right? That's the example that we should take from it. If we want to, if there is a lesson. Whereas if we're, there is, because there is that propensity there, there is a facility to exercise that. It's called marriage. Right? We're given that opportunity. But it is done under rules and regulations. So it's done under the auspices of ultimately serving Krishna and connected with the spiritual energy. So, yes, that propensity is there and it is not considered bad as such if it is utilized in a religious way. What is it? Dharma Virudho something. I can't remember exactly, but it's mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita later on. Sex life, which is not contrary to religious principles, that I am, Krishna says. Right? That I am. So yes, the propensity is there, but it has to be used in service to God. Then it becomes. But when that propensity is, oh, let me become the enjoyer, which is not our natural position, then we become contaminated. So yes, you can utilize that propensity, do so according to religious principles. Huh? Otherwise, if we don't do it according to religious principles, what happens? We become like the moth attracted to the Maya, the fire of Maya, where you just get burned up. And where is the enjoyment? This is the interesting thing is, even when we engage that propensity according to religious principles, where's the enjoyment? And how much enjoyment is there? In reality, if you look at it, if you analyse it very closely, how much enjoyment is there between a man and a woman engaging in sex, which is so attractive? How much enjoyment is it?
Maybe not.
No, answer the question. What about?
No,
don't change the subject. Let's stick to the subject.
Dancing? Like
dancing?
Enjoyment.
Yeah. But how long does it last?
Yeah, but we're just minute part, so we can't expect a minute degree of enjoyment.
Yeah, and a heck of a lot of suffering. There you go. In reality, if you look at it, something which bewilders the whole creation, and yet they can only do it for such a very small amount of time. And then what do they have to do for the rest of the time? Or work hard like an ass. Huh? I don't know if you've noticed that or not.
So do these animals become depressed after sex?
Animals? What, as big as human beings?
Exactly.
Yep. Depressed. Was that it? Was worth it. So yes, certainly the propensity is there, no doubt. But Krishna enjoys unlimitedly, and we enjoy, you know, and then the rest of the time we have to work hard. So, you know, if people, and people may mention these things, you know, but, you know, if you look at things from a dispassionately, you can see that there's a disproportionate, it's just disproportionate. The amount of enjoyment that you get in the material world, in relationship to the amount of suffering, is disproportionate.
I guess being part and parcel of Krishna, we have a function for Krishna, so the actual dancing propensity is for Krishna.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, that reminds me. Prabhupada gives the example of your finger. Your finger has its identity. It has its own individuality. When it works in cooperation with the rest of the body, then it's in its proper position. If you chop the finger off and separate it from the body, it still has its identity. It still has its personality, if you like. But separated from the body, it's useless.
Krishna also mentions in the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita the difference between Purusha and Prakriti.
Mm.
So the jivas come under the category of Prakriti.
Yeah, it's not Purusha.
Vishnu Tattva means Purusha.
Yes, Mahatmaji.
We have come for to suffer the imprisonment because of our actions.
Yeah.
In the previous lives.
Yeah.
So we have to get out of this world very quick.
Yeah.
By chanting and doing service.
Yeah.
Rather than having the propensity to enjoy.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know if you've noticed something I noticed this morning, but have you ever noticed at the end of Prabhupada's classes sometimes he says two or three things? You know, just sums everything up. I heard this morning Prabhupada was, he told the story of he told the story of the Chankazi stopping the Sankirtan movement and how Lord Chaitanya organized a civil disobedience movement. And when the Chankazi saw that Lord Chaitanya's influence was so great that he was able to rally thousands, hundreds of thousands of people, then he was a little, he became scared actually. And he said to Lord Chaitanya, you know, our family relationship is such that you are like my nephew, you know, so we shouldn't fight. We shouldn't fight because he was his. There was a family. There was a relationship between his father and the Chankazi. And there was a discussion about how the even in the Vedas there is animal killing, and Lord Chaitanya explained how the animal killing was as a result of chanting mantras, a test of the Vedic mantras, and that was demonstrated in giving the animal that was killed a new life.
Right.
Yeah. And of course, Prabhupada was saying that in this day and age we can't chant these mantras, but we do have a Vedic mantra. We have the Maha Mantra. Right? This is the means of sacrifice in this day and age. So So at the end of the class, Prabhupada said, so sacrifice everything, chant this Maha Mantra, and go back to Godhead. Thank you very much. That's it. Sacrifice everything, chant the Maha Mantra, go back to Godhead. But I was thinking, hang on a second, sacrifice everything? Very simple, you know, Prabhupada puts everything in a very simple way, right? But sacrifice everything, that's even though it's only two words, it's a huge import in those two words, sacrifice everything. And as Kashyapa points out, you know, Krishna teaches us we are not the Purusha, we are the Prakriti. And so we have to, in one sense, sacrifice this false identity with being the controller, the enjoyer. Of course, we are the enjoyer, but our real position of enjoyment is when we subjugate ourselves, or not even subjugate, we put ourselves back into the position from which we came, or from where we belong, and that is as a servant. That's the sacrifice everything bit.
Wasn't the Tankazi visited by the Lord Vishnu?
He was. Yeah. That was also.
He got the picture.
Yeah. He was. That made him a little worried. He felt the heat. And he saw all of the followers of Lord Chaitanya, so he thought, looks like we've got a revolt on our hands. We'd better pacify everybody quickly. Keep everybody. Yeah. Okay. Let's go. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.